Salutations, Quest fans, and welcome back to the action-adventure of the League of Ultimate Questing. Last week, we followed the Mortal Dawn into the Narflin of Dornheim and watched in wonder as they bartered their way into the Feywild, with nothing more to guide them than a mysterious song. Storm, what's your take on the events thus far?
You know me, Kip. I love music. But when it comes to navigating a living nightmare, I'll take a map over a jingle any day of the week. Sounds to me like they'll be wasting time solving this riddle when they should be focused on not wandering into something that looks like an orgy, but everyone turns into your mom when it starts getting good. Or a cave that turns into yet another giant worm quest. Look, the Fae are a great bunch, but those devious little bastards make shit tour guides.
And this will really give us a chance to see the team flex their stealthy potential. They've been sent to sneak into an ancient fortress in a way that only a small team of skilled adventurers can, because a large force would garner too much attention.
Damn right. Never use a great sword when a dagger will do. Most orcs love a war cry and a headfirst charge into the meat grinder, but I've always favored a tap on the shoulder and a few inches of steel in the spine. I like a nice balance of the two, truth be told. But get my friend, shadows are a renewable resource, and you'd be dumb as hell not to use them when possible.
I'm sure we'll be seeing all kinds of shadows as we tail the Tenacious team onward into the unknown. Let's see what the Realm of Chaos has in store for the Mortal Dawn.
The Mortal Dawn has found their way into the Feywild by making a deal with a trickster spirit. Your camp seems to have magically transported you into a deeper, darker, more magical section of forest, almost instantaneously once the song faded away, the song that gave you directions on how to get where you're going. How do you respond?
So where are we standing now?
You are around a campfire.
Okay.
You guys were at camp with a campfire when the music started.
Gotcha. Okay.
I've never have pen and paper on hand when these things happen.
I literally reach into my pocket and pull out a little notebook.
The adventurer's best friend.
Oh, did you get it?
Duh.
Okay, I'd like to copy it.
I literally open it up and it's right there.
So you now have a copy of the verse that the trickster sang to you to give you your directions and somehow open this doorway into the Feywild.
Should we use the buddy system?
What is this?
It means stick together.
Buddy means stick together?
In pairs specifically. So you're always responsible for your buddy?
I have bad language here. What is buddy?
Teammate.
In this case, no, wait, because he'll get confused later. It can also mean brother, uncle.
This is confusing.
It's a person who is attached to you like a bud.
Like a bud on flower.
Yes!
I get this.
Yes, okay.
I understand. This is a lot of metaphor for something I do not understand, but I think I understand now. So I am buddy to... Who is buddy?
We could draw straws or...
This is a waste of time. You are soft, you go with strong buddy. You are a soft little person, you come with me.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Large person will stand in for you in case there are any problems, and I will stand in for tiny person because I am relatively large.
Okay, so remember, don't let your buddy get out of your sight. If they go pee, you go with them.
But if I do not need to pee?
What? You just go stand with them.
I'm not holding anything.
Don't worry, you're in luck.
Nah, okay. This makes sense.
Lucky day, I've got a vagina.
Perfect. Now it looks like the first thing from that riddle is something about a pit.
Mm-hmm. To find the pit, but specifically that trapped the prey, or you shadow rose. To grind the stone. I cannot tell if this means a shadow rises or if this is a shadow rose, a black rose. Look around for black roses, maybe? No. Maybe it's talking about the Shadowfell people who attack the, what are they called? The Corvair Sword? Ugh, this is confusing.
The Corvair Sword, what was that fella's name? Sir Ambers?
Jeff Ammons.
I can't tell what you're saying with your accent.
Jeffrey? Ammons.
Ammons. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is the individual who gave you the quest, as well as Lady Serena, who are two of our patron legendary tier members. Dave said that we should use Serena's name.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who's Serena?
His daughter.
Oh, aww.
Cool. That's really sweet.
She's rad as hell.
So the Corvair Sword was a place?
I believe it was a person.
Isn't it the order that the Jeffrey Ammons people are? Mm. Aren't they called the Corvair Sword?
Do you wish for a recap? I was recording.
Yes, please.
The Corvair Sword is the name of the warden who was in charge of the Gulag of Blades. Sir Geoffrey Ammons is a member of the Tomodane Troll Knights.
Ah, Tomodane Troll Knights. This makes sense.
Note-taking. It's like D&D in here.
All right. So.
Artem, can I see the notes, please?
The music still seems to just be kind of softly lingering in the air. Even when you like read the words, for some reason, they still kind of go with this strange tinkling music that comes from the forest. And you realize that the trees around you are gargantuan in size. The tips of them are far beyond your range of vision.
I'm getting really tired of being surrounded by gigantic things.
Arvid crouches down a little. Looks away.
Aww. So, what's surrounding us right now?
Huge pine trees, twinkling fireflies, and slowly and surely, the light of sun as it becomes morning.
Isn't there something about the dawn and the dusk?
Yes, and towards the dusk must tread the dawn.
Which means we must move away from the light. Ugh, that's the worst sentence I've ever had to say. Perhaps we walk away from the sun.
Better the idea than any I have.
Because he specifically says the dawn must tread away from dusk, da?
Towards dust must tread the dawn, yes.
And we are the dawn.
The mortal dawn.
Right.
That's correct.
And keep your eyes low. Maybe we look for a rose, like you said, or this pit that the prey fell into.
Or we might step on you.
I'll stay in the back. Don't worry about me.
I'm a little worried we might be the prey in this scenario, but what could the kings be?
Kings, I'm guessing maybe the Fae Lords or something similar.
And as you survey the sky around you, trying to peer little glances of it between these giant trees, you notice that opposite from where the sun is rising, it looks like it's completely nightfall. The sky is just completely filled with darkness and stars, like it's just starting to become night. Not natural. Nothing you've seen before where it's literally daylight on one side of you and darkness on the other.
Is the sun actually rising?
Very slowly, yes.
Okay.
I mean, this is the best idea yet, and time is running out. Maybe we should go towards that nightfall.
I'm a little bit uncomfortable with having somebody as small as you being in the back. Are you sure you're going to be able to handle that?
I can move.
Because typically you have the largest person in the back, largest person in the front, and that way if we get attacked from both sides, we have somebody large to defend. But since you are somebody who maybe does not stand in a standard formation, do not travel in the line. Perhaps you, moving consistently in the back around the area, this will prevent maybe from, you know, back attacks, like a flanking, what's the word? I do not know. But keep moving.
Sounds like you've worked with a specialist before.
Maybe rear scout. This is what they look
Absolutely.
For.
Absolutely.
So you set off away from the morning light towards the darkness on the horizon in the other direction, which is seems like back the direction you came from. But this is a vastly different forest than you traveled through on the way here. And it seems like the further you travel, the larger and more sparse the trees become. It's not that there's less of them. It's just that they're bigger and further apart. I'm going to have each of you roll me a perception check, and Arvid, roll me a survival check. You have advantage because Morty is helping you.
18
Another
plus.
Good roll.
I swear I'm not cheating on these die rolls.
21.
The biggest one I could possibly roll. Yeah. Perception was not my forte.
Nah.
Chris rolled a 10. He likes all these flowers and stars.
Oh, there's a lot of beautiful things to distract you and Nim as well. This place is just musical and magical, everything about it. And as you're traveling beyond the light and into these shadows, you're passing under the shadows of these massive trees. And you've been walking for a very long time, moving, making as much distance as you can. But the horizon position of the sun and the night doesn't seem to change the further you move. It always seems to be there. Usually the sun would be slowly rising up behind you or getting slowly further down, depending how quickly you were traveling. It's just kind of in the same spot. With your perception checks and survival, you realize that it seems like you've walked by the exact same tree a dozen times. Every single knot, every single mossy growth is identical in every way.
Ugh, I think I know what's going on here. Dusk does not mean dark. It means the transition between day and night. If we maybe move toward that horizon, and I point to the west or the east, if we maybe move towards this might get us out of this pointless, illogical direction.
Again, just as good as any idea. Let's do it.
There?
Okay. Yeah. I guess Selvage help us.
That's what I was thinking.
Tell me, little person. Nim, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Nim, is this a rogue and cleric, maybe?
Cleric like you? No. I'm more of a paladin, a knight. That fights for the things of Salvage.
Holy warrior. I understand.
Absolutely.
Nah, I like this.
Yes, this is the big turnaround I had to make.
Hmm. Okay. Perhaps maybe you can commune with your god and tell us if this is the right direction.
That's a wonderful idea. I think what I'm going to do, stand in one spot and face all four directions and see if I can get something from my god that points us in the right way to go.
I lean over to Chris.
Do gnomes or halflings have ability to face more than one direction?
I don't think so, no. But I'm
very nervous.
We should just watch and see, maybe.
I need to see this.
Yeah.
And I just stare.
All right, so go ahead and roll me a religion check.
As Nim looks towards the north, then about faces to the south, then turns again to the east and the west.
Each in turn. This makes sense.
Rolled a 15.
Okay, that's pretty good. So studying the balance, it's obvious which way is dark and which way is light. But one of them has the light of morning and one of them has the light of dusk. You are so familiar with these two entities that one of them, you can tell to the west, has the same scent. It's not even the light, it's the feeling of nightfall at peace. And you are drawn towards the westward.
She pulls two daggers out and she uses almost as dowsing rods for this. And one you guys see, it's almost crystalline, but it's glass with a white pommel and handle. And the other is a brutal and jagged black dagger. Oh, my black dagger. We're going this way, heading to the west.
This is dowsing rod then?
It's a way I commune.
I like this. I'm sorry. Name is not Nimwit, da?
No. Nimberwell is my full.
Nimberwell.
Yes.
Da. Appreciate it.
And the group heads towards the direction that the dagger pointed, into the dusk light. Slowly, you feel like you're actually shifting in terrain. The trees are still massive. They're very similar to each other, but you can sense progress in your pursuit. Slowly, the bases of the trees begin to get wrapped up in these thick, thorny vines covered in barbs and bramble. You start going from an evergreen forest into a much more condensed cluster of thick vines and roots and undergrowth. The trees are still present, but they're almost tangled and tied together with these massive, wooden, gnarly roots.
Well, this is different. That's good, right?
Different is...
different.
Different.
And kind of creeping out from between them, almost like arising into the presence of people being near them, these little tiny blue flowers start to bloom, that lift at first and then tip upside down and hang like little blue bells that gently ding as they hang there.
I want to put my finger in one.
Yeah, you do. And it starts to kind of recoil, but it doesn't wither or anything, but you touch it and your finger smells amazing, to say the least.
Maybe don't touch things.
Your uncle used to make this really family stew that was made with some of the bear meat of your tribe.
It was a very family stew.
Yes, it was the most familiest of stew. It was a croulash, if you will. with tubers, and like no one could make a stew like your uncle. This flower smells exactly like that stew did.
This is a trap. This is definitely a trap.
Good. This is a good catch. Do not put that in your mouth.
I really want to put it in my mouth.
I understand.
Morty's like sniffing at your finger like...
Not him either, maybe?
Okay.
I pull out a clean cloth and I just kind of wipe the finger off.
It smells gone. It was just the pollen.
I will take that and I'll just put it in a little pouch and just keep that there.
Although you notice that near Christ, the flowers just kind of recoil. They don't bloom. Kind of within 5 feet of you. Everyone else, they're just like right at their feet. But you, they pull away.
I'll flip out my shadow dagger and I'll cut one of them off and see what happens to it.
Just starts to decay instantly.
Ugh.
Turns gray and withered.
I was hoping for alchemical solutions, but maybe not.
Nim does the same thing, but with her glass dagger and trims a blue flower next to her feet.
Same result. It just kind of dies instantly. Decays much faster than a normal flower should.
Mm. Nothing to do with the iron, though.
Doesn't seem like it.
It's not iron.
Yeah, that one's made of shadows.
Is anyone else seeing this? They seem to all be dead around me.
If I had to guess, I would say it is probably the fact that you resonate with your crazy crystal magic.
Fair enough. Maybe I can attune to the song of this forest.
You can give it a try.
Yeah, certainly. There's nothing really crystalline for you to attune to, but as you're traveling through this, the songs are like sticking in your head. You're feeling the magic of them and understanding why they're magic because they're music. Mm. It's not logical, but you can tell there's magic here. Mm. And as you continue onward, the thick bramble and thorny roots seem to get thicker and thicker to the point where they're almost forming walls around you, like you're passing through a building that's made out of thorny roots and bramble. And you are suddenly at the point where you're no longer traveling in a massive, wide open forest, but you're actually taking curves, lefts and rights, corridors to get through this tight, razor sharp, brambly tunnel. If you get too close, they will prick you, and it's incredibly painful.
Law, is it easier for a Nephling to get through here or harder?
It would be easier for you simply because you're smaller, so you have less risk of like a slight dismovement. Arvid is having to hug his arms quite close to not get pricked by these barbs. Mm-hmm. Like, you are just the maximum size that could be accepted by this tunnel.
Like, ooh, ow.
Yeah, Nim has a little more flexibility because they're so wee.
Hmm.
And Morty's like sniffing around at the ground, like super curious, and then like follows the path and then gets his nose stuck in some of the bramble and yelps.
Stay close and don't eat anything.
Gulps. What's in your mouth? What's in your mouth? As the passages of this thorny tunnel weave back and forth, it starts to split off into exits. And you realize that it's going to be very difficult to keep track of where you're going. What would you guys like to do to navigate through this thorny labyrinth?
Perhaps we should leave a trail or something.
In the stories, that never works.
Well, the stories use breadcrumbs and silly things like that.
And also only because of plot convenience does it not work.
I don't know. Maybe it's because they were in the Feywild. It seems like this place has some shiftiness. It's kind of shifty.
They are called fairy tales for a reason.
Wow.
Better to try and have it fail than not try at all and have us die.
Fair enough.
So what kind of markers would you like to use to signify your path?
We've got more than 50 feet of rope.
Listen to me. I am not using my bread to make your crumbs.
Chris will use chromatic orb in fire mode to see kind of where the fire might lead or the way the wind blows or what have you.
Okay.
Kind of with the next line of the song.
I see. Yeah. So, I mean, you're creating a little bit of elemental magic in the palm of your hand and kind of watching where the wind is blowing.
Yes.
You can tell that inside of this barricade of thorns, there is no wind blowing. It's almost like you're in a building. Like it's so enclosed.
I'll grab a scarf and I'll just start unraveling it and use that for a while. I'll tie it around some stuff and just walk it.
Sure. Little red threads hanging from here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Everybody do one, preferably something a different color in case we get separated.
And as you pass through, I'm going to have the group all roll me a survival check.
Sure.
Natural 20.
Wait, what am I rolling?
A survival check.
Natural 20.
What? Wow. What? Go Team Venture.
Six.
What the what?
Wow, those were really good rolls.
Except for the six.
Right. Right. So you go through this phase of traveling to the left and then to the right and marking which direction you're going with whatever kind of threads and ribbons you can find off of your garments, starting with Artyom's scarf. And after a couple of cycles of left to right, you haven't come to any of the ones that you've left behind before. Traveling for almost an hour at this point, until you reach a completely circular opening that has an exit every few feet. You step out into it, and everything about it feels like a dead center to you. The ceiling is no longer there. You can see up into the night sky. It's dark off to the north and then light to the south. So you're still facing in a westerly direction. But you can see that each of the exits, different than the one that you stepped out of, has a tiny thread hanging off of it. And you've never been here before. This is the first time you've stepped into this circular corridor.
How? What?
Either the thing is moving, we're being tricked, or maybe time is weird here.
Hmm.
And Morty starts sniffing around the circle, like going to each of them, just like.
Can you smell us, Morty? Yep, we've been here.
And then he stops where you're at and looks back and sniffs. And tries to go that way, like just exactly where you came from.
Which means the trick is least likely. Most likely time or
Feywild magic.
Does he come back?
Oh, he's just going to, if you let him go, he'll just kind of take
off. Then. But buddy, come with me.
I literally just, as Arvid's walking away, I tie my scarf around their belt and just let it go.
Okay. So you're kind of Christ unraveling a thread.
If you'll all remember. So I'm trying to drag Chris with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going.
We'll be here, I guess.
And as you proceed with Morty, you don't see any of the threads that you left behind. This seems like entirely new passageways. But it's the same way you came from, which doesn't seem possible.
Chris, I'm scared we might be lost. Are we lost?
No, we're fine. Okay. We really just need to find this ghostly flame, whatever that means.
I could talk to the plants.
That? You can do that? Really?
I forgot you could do that. That's awesome.
I would love that. Yes.
Okay. And does it ritual form? What, is there some reason to do it ritual form versus the other
thing? It doesn't burn one of your spell slots. It just takes a little more time.
Is there anything I can do to help you in this, whatever you're doing?
You can make sure Morty doesn't go anywhere.
I can do that, yes.
Okay, pull it off as a ritual. Yeah.
What does it look like when Arvid uses commune with plants?
Okay, so he's going to set up shop in front of the plants and maybe do some, let's see, what is it like to be a plant?
So you become the plant?
Trying to contort. Yeah. Like brambles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are thorns if not horns?
Yes!
All right, begin, and you just hear this like really soft whispering surrounding you from all corners, and you hear these little voices that are like east, west, north, go back, wrong way, this is right.
Brambles?
Right this way. I can't hear you.
Hello?
I can't hear you. You're too quiet. Get closer.
Get closer.
Just a little I can't. Who's there?
Face all the way up to him.
And then the thorns extend and you feel pinched out. You this.
Bastards!
What are you doing?
Delicious. And Arvid just like stuck his face right in the thorns. And there's little tiny pinpricks of blood on the tips of them that just kind of sucks into the thorns.
You're lost. You're lost. You're lost. You shouldn't be here.
Why?
Not your home. Not your home.
Whose home is it? Who's home? Who's home?
This is a realm of magic. This is the realm of the Fae. All outsiders be gone. You'll never make it home. You'll die here.
Chris, they're saying some really negative things.
We will consume you.
I believe in you. You have this. You saved us before. You can do it again.
How would you like to interact with these plants?
Trying to bargain with them.
I will give you 5 gold to leave me alone.
I mean, more like I can say, is there nothing I can promise you or give you that would make you comfortable with us exploring here?
The way out is dead ahead, right through us. Come on in. We won't prick you. It'll be fine.
I feel like you're lying to me.
They're convincing you to try to just walk right into the thorns.
I might do it. I might do it.
And Arvid's strong suits in persuading things is through intimidation. I don't know how that would apply. Although you're welcome to attempt.
All right, I'll walk right through you. And brings up the old axe.
Oh man, yeah.
Turns the dark side.
Yeah.
And yep, should I roll for intimidation?
Yes, please.
It's a 24.
Wow. So you're like, yeah, you want me to step in? All right. And you just plow into these thorns, axe first. And you do take 4 points of damage as they just prick and stab into you, but you cut a huge chunk of their entire essence off as thorns and wood starts to like grab, and you hear the screams of these tiny whispers from all around you, and they say, "Violent one, be gone, be gone," and the thorns start to open and bend, and you guys can see the path that they went down is now retracting away from the path that they had taken.
Looks like something worked.
With God, with.
That's one way to talk to plants, I guess.
I'll follow.
And suddenly the voices get louder and they're, "Be gone, be gone, be gone, Deathbringer, Axe Wielder, be gone." And you all start to hear these little whispers and voices, even though you're not communing, they just say, "Be gone, be gone."
I gave you a chance to do this peacefully.
And in very little time, if you follow that path, you will spill out into a no longer tall evergreen forest, but a very murky, soft, padded ground. Like there's mud and decayed plant life.
This is looking like that mire we heard about.
And you emerge from the bramble thorn maze out into a very dark, and you can just smell like this sulfurous stank.
Who farted?
Have you never been to the decaying woods? The swamp?
I've been to cave, desert, and tundra. You've been everywhere I've been.
Yeah, my uncle explained it to me. So down where the forest is low, there's a lot of water, and then the trees, you know, they rot. So then it's like this.
That sounds an awful lot like primate thinking.
What?
Primate realm, you know? The place we are from, this is not that place. I'm thinking maybe this is more symbolic. We're going into an area of rot because this is the place where rotting things go. This is my assumption, anyway.
Are you saying that really we're dead?
No. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
Maybe we're being eaten by a mushroom right now.
Where did you get this? Where did mushroom come in?
There was a story, I remember.
We're already friends with mushrooms, you remember?
Okay.
It's okay.
So while they're talking, Chris is just like, I'm curious. And he shoots off a frost bolt to see if he see what happens. And if it works out, maybe create an ice path.
Okay. Well, the ground is pretty soft here, but you can cover it with kind of a sheen of like permafrost that if you step on it, crackles a little bit, but it's far too vast a muddy terrain to influence with a twinkling of ice magic. Mm-hmm. It starts to sink in the further you go. It just starts to get an inch deep to about 3 inches deep to where you're kind of actually slogging and getting that suck from your boots.
I think Nimberwell, you might want to get on the Arvid's back.
I was going to say the same thing. do you mind?
Of course not. It's always better to have friends close to you.
Can I join too? Because I really don't want to get this new scarf dirty.
How many people can I carry?
I mean, you can carry both of them, but you're going to be moving very slow and sinking much deeper than you normally would because of their weight.
I'll just walk.
And you guys look, and Morty is just rolling. Like completely covered in mud. He's a mud puppy.
Arvid, your dog is real dirty.
Maybe he'll blend in better here, you know?
Oh, that's pretty smart, actually.
And the only thing you see that isn't just vast swamp and dead trees is there's a stone pillar that rises up about 8 feet off of the ground that kind of looks like it used to be a statue, but at this point it's just worn away to almost just a slate totem pole without any faces.
The big stone dongus?
Dongus, yes. That's the architectural term.
Now, hold still real quick. Let me get up on your shoulders. I'm going to stand on your shoulders and take a better look at that. And Nim definitely climbs up even more and has a full stand of her 3 foot more. And yes, there's a stone pillar. Can't really tell how far it is from us, but we're heading the right direction.
Mm-hmm. It's maybe like 30, 40 feet. Not too far at all.
I'll keep going.
If you get closer up to it at your raised height, even with Arvid walking, you can balance pretty easily on your shoulders. You see the top of this stone dongus, as it were, has a hole in the top of it. And you can just kind of barely peek into it, and it drops all the way through the statue. And as you're looking down, you see a little dark shape start to stick its head up. And this little snake, roughly 4 inches in diameter, slides its head out and lowers itself down. It looks kind of like a big ball python with a big chubby cheeks. And it's wearing what looks like a little tiny necktie made out of white fabric. And it has a little pair of spectacles on the end of its nose.
What?
Arvid, you're a druid, right?
That's me.
What is that?
It looks like a snake in a business suit.
That's what I thought.
What?
Said snake in a business suit.
How are you going to explain any of this to him?
Did you lick the flower?
And you hear a little voice just come out of it as it slides its way out to be eye to eye with Nim on top of Arvid's shoulders.
What are you doing in the swamp?
We're trying to get through the swamp.
You shouldn't be here. This is a real bad place for people like you.
But this is the Feywild.
That's true. That's true.
Maybe having conversation with the Viper is not such a great idea.
We're headed to Fort Terminus.
Fort Terminus?
Yes.
That's a long way from here. You got to go all the way through the swamp. Quite the voyage.
Could you help us get out of your swamp?
Well, I mean, the best way is to turn around and come from where you went.
We tried that already once. We've gotten here.
Well, you're in luck that the bog renders are extinct these days, because they'd gobble you right up. But that doesn't mean this swamp is safe. There's all kinds of dangerous things out there.
Bog render, this is creature that lives in toilet that eats butts.
You wish. Nah, the giant beasts that rise up out of the mud swallow people whole of your size.
Always giant beasts. It is always giant beasts. Why can't it do small beasts?
Well, if they were too small, they wouldn't be very dangerous, now would they?
They probably wouldn't be called renders.
Look, if you want to get through, there's paths. You just got to follow the lanterns. But there are ways in. And it'll get a little safer. There's some wooden walkways, but I got to warn you that they're not going to like you're there.
I'm starting to think these lanterns might be the ghost flames you're looking for.
Yes. Does that mean we have to also light these lanterns?
No, they ain't never going to go out. If they do, then we all in trouble.
Good to know.
Are they lit with fey magic, then?
Oh, that's part of it for sure. Mm-hmm. Or the results thereof, as it were.
And what is your name?
My name is kind of like a song that started when time began and keeps going, the verses ever changing.
So can I call you Tim?
You can call me Tim if you like. Don't offend me none.
What do you prefer?
Like I said, the tongue is something that you mortals wouldn't really comprehend.
What is your last deed?
My last deed? That's a good question. Last time, I was in a giant canopy, and I was slithering down these giant leaves, and I was watching the bluebirds. They love to hunt this time of year.
Maybe I call you Blue Jay.
Sure, you can call me Blue Jay. Ah.
So, Blue Jay, which direction is the flames?
And kind of erects his tail out of the top of this little thing and points in kind of a diagonal southwestern direction.
And are you lying to me?
Well, I could be. That's not the reality you got to face.
Are you lying to me?
No.
I look at him seriously. Are you lying to me?
What can I tell you? I'm a serpent. I mean, I don't like titles as much as the next guy. I'm trying to get you guys safe to where you're going, right?
Snakes represent healing.
Hmm.
Where did you get this?
Huh?
Where did you get this?
It's normal. Normal stuff. They represent healing.
Normal stuff.
I think it's a druid thing. If you just... Yes.
I'm going to roll knowledge religion and see if I can parse some business out of this.
Sure, yeah. The snake thing.
Mm-hmm. 10 plus 5?
Some cultures would use probably a serpent as a symbol of infinity, like healing things, bringing them back to the beginning again, restarting a cycle. So you could imagine, being culturally imaginative, that could be true in some realms.
Anybody here have any experience with the Feywilds and their symbolism?
No.
I might have something in from the stories I was told.
Hmm.
I'd like to roll a history on this.
Sure.
If I've ever heard a tale that had Tim the Blue Jay Serpent. 21.
Wow, that's really good. Yeah, your mom is definitely very intrinsic with the Feywild. She was a forest gnome. Yeah, you heard stories about not necessarily serpents in particular, but lots of lessons about the Feywild were to not trust things or make deals if you can't help it. And a lot of things are... smaller entities, things that don't appear great and powerful, are servants of things that are more powerful and do their bidding and help their machinations of chaos come to be.
Starting to think trusting or even talking to anything is a bad idea. Influencing decisions and all that.
Mr. Tim Blue Jay, why do you live there? Do you live there? Is that your home?
Well, I just kind of come out wherever it ends up I am, you know? I could be something besides a serpent if you don't trust snakes. I could be something else. What kind of animals do you like? Maybe a ferret? That's kind of like a fuzzy snake, ain't it?
The more information you have, the more poisoned thoughts become. The more you know, the harder it is to make decisions. Every time we ask a question, we find out a little bit less because we are finding out more. I say, from now on, if we talk to anything, we ask simple questions and we try to discern its intent before we communicate.
I like this one. That's a valuable lesson. Sometimes the more you know, the more dangerous things can become.
This is a place where logic is a problem. So I say, we simply go. But not the way he tells us. So, he points this way, I say we go that way, and if worst case scenario, we just come back.
That sounds real smart, he says, tipping his hat. Y'all have a real good day, okay?
And then sucks back into the statue. And you guys head in the opposite direction that Tim Blue Jay pointed you.
Why do you call him Tim?
Because it's the beginning of time.
It's good. I like this.
And as you continue to walk on, it's another maybe hour of slogging with Arvid carrying most of the weight of the team at this point, up to his knees in thick mud from the extra capacity of the bodies you are lifting. Morty's doing pretty good. He's kind of leaping from puddle to puddle at this point. Off in the distance, you see an eerie bluish-white light glowing through the vines and the trees of the swamp. And it seems weirdly comforting in this dark ambience.
That seems like a ghostly fire to me.
And as you get closer, you can see that it's built into a wooden brazier. And where it comes out of the swamp is the beginning of a wooden walkway that's lifted up on stilts out of the thick, awful mud. So there's kind of like a walking path with these rickety old wooden, almost like a dock, that goes off for quite a distance.
When we get up to it, nimbly leaps off of Arvid's back and, and lands on it.
What color is the fire?
Whitish blue.
Does anybody here know any stories or anything about the ghost fire?
No.
I heard that it signals the one who comes for you at night and eats your toes.
Why would you say that?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
You gotta watch out. Gotta watch your toes, guys.
Does anybody want to roll acknowledge nature or something?
I was going to say, there's something like in between about burning things and it's going into the air and it's gray. There's something gray and in between for that.
If you would like to make me a religion check to analyze the fire.
Right. Nim pulls out both of her daggers and kind of waves them through the fire and moves them around, seeing if she can pick up anything resonating off of them.
Sure.
19.
That's pretty good.
Damn.
Something about the way that the sconce is carved and the brazier is lit and the color of the fire reminds you of the afterlife. Something about it seems spectral.
Well, I might have a bad idea, but if we're not sure what to do, I can try it.
Maybe say it before you do it. If I have to do that, you have to do that.
Hard to put it into words. I think I might try to absorb the flame. See if I can also absorb the memories in the flame.
That is a strange leap, but I guess logic doesn't make sense here. Go ahead.
I like it. Do you want to use like an absorb elements thing?
Yes, he will take his gem hand, put it in the flame, and use absorb elements.
All right. I'm going to make you burn a spell slot for this one.
Okay.
And you do. You feel the burning of the fire for just an instant before the gem in the palm of your hand begins to suck it up. Imagine trying to drink a river. You start to take a sip, and then it fills you completely to the point of bursting. You're sensing lost lives, things that were taken from people. Not death, but stolen life. Something about a darkness and a consumption that trapped them, and they're trying to find their way back to the bodies that they were pulled from. These are spirits that are trapped inside of these glowing lanterns.
Okay. Well, I feel awful for doing that. I think that these are souls burning, their lives lost. That's just the feeling I got when I absorbed it. I can't explain it. I'm sorry. I just...
Gross.
Yeah.
And when you tried to absorb the first one, you noticed further off in the distance another one get brighter as this one diminished, and another one beyond that. So there's clearly a trail of them along these wooden walkways that weren't as clear until that one got brighter.
Follow it.
Okay, but we should be on our guard. These lives were... taken, not lost.
I'll take up the lead.
I should go last. I think I'm pretty heavy.
Okay. So you guys begin walking along this creaking wooden walkway that's lifted up on stilts outside of the mud. And the wood is very old, but it does manage to bear your weight. It protests in a groan here and there, but it's fairly sturdy. Every 20 feet or so, you come past another one of these wooden braziers with this whitish blue fire burning inside of it. And as you walk past, it kind of trails and follows you for just a moment before it returns to the basin. And they start to get closer together to the point where they're every few feet along this. The first thing you notice as you get to a wide open part of the swamp is that the water beneath you is no longer just thick mud, but it's also probably deep. Like if you fell in, you could completely submerge yourself in this slush. And there is a shape that is rising up out of the swamp that looks like the skeleton of some ancient beast with huge ribs peeling out of the mud, half in and half out of the bog. Ambience here is hauntingly quiet, except for this slurping sound that seems to be coming from inside the cavity of the rib cage.
Is it Tobane?
Maybe. Maybe a little too big to eat those. Maybe Bodybane more.
I'll try and get a good look at what's going on in there.
Totally. And I'm going to actually have everyone do a perception check. You're specifically directed at the skeletal cavity.
Would Arvid do like a nature on that? You know, because it's a skeleton.
If you'd like, yeah. I like that. Let me know what skill you want to use.
Perception's fine. Because it's 20. 20.
20 perception?
I got a 17.
Nice.
12.
16.
Okay. You are studying this huge skeleton rib cage with a sucking sound. And it looks like rising up out of the mire is this thick, slimy, like membrane that seems to have things pushing against it. Like you see a hand press against this thin film, this gooey balloon. The rest of you, as you this slurping gets louder, you can see from the other side of the walkway, dark shapes start to rise up out of the bog. And with a splashing of mud, these figures leap up onto the wooden walkway, and for just a split second, you think perhaps they are relatives of Hyrethax. But they are in fact dark green crocodilian lizard men with weapons made of the same kind of bones of the skeleton. And as they leap up onto the wooden walkways, the fires get brighter and brighter.
Joining us in the booth today is a certified expert in all things Feywild for a quick interview about what to expect for our wandering team.
This here's Master Jimble Dancewell of the Spriggan Spires. Tell us a little about yourself, Jims.
Of ancient times my bloodline sings the silly court of fall and spring. To sow and weave the tales I take, and to sow mischief in my way. The ancient legends share I must, but choose must you my words to trust.
All right. How about you give us a rundown on what we're seeing in your domain?
The path of thorns can lead to death, or circle around like panicked breath. Mayhaps your team has passed its tide, though maybe they're still trapped inside.
It looks like they made it through okay to me. Are you saying it's some kind of illusion? Will they have to face more of this deceptive magic?
To trust your eye, a game for fools. Your mind and heart opposing tools. The path they face, a horrid curse. So trust it not like Jimble's verse.
That's an awful lot of words for an awful lot of nothing. What I gather from your cryptic little nursery rhyme is we can't trust anything happening here. Least of all you.
Yes, that seems to be the size of it, Storm. Not quite the in-depth interview I had hoped for.
Might as well freaking talk to a magic A-ball with wings. Not you, Reg.
Truth and lie both hide their face. The mortal mind, a deadly place. You seek always a truth to know, but fear the truth of letting go.
Yep, I think we're done here. Thanks for the freestyle, Jims, but we got adventure to tune back in on. Don't call us, we'll call you. Cut to commercial. Cut to commercial. What is this, because I said I wouldn't interview you? Look, I'm sorry, okay? I just can't interview Modrons. Nobody cares. I care. Come on.
She's a brilliant young wizard fresh out of the academy. He's a werewolf raised by the church and sworn to protect the city. They're an ancient slumbering void of destruction that's taken the form of a winged child with midnight hair and ivory skin. He's a dwarf who loves beer and fart jokes. She's a deadly Namekian huntress who turns into a kitty cat when she eats bread. And she's a reckless daredevil halfling with blue hair and a gun that she made out of an old fishing boat. Find out what brought them together and how they managed to share a two-bedroom apartment tonight on a new episode of Party of Six on the Nexus Enterprise.
Hey there, all you cuties. This is Zach. We got a little bit of housekeeping to do, and we'll get back to it. First, I want to thank all of our Patreon subscribers, in particular, our legendary team, Jeff Ammons and Dave Mladenov, for their amazing contributions. We also want to thank Dave again and everyone at Orcs, Orcs, Orcs for tolerating us at their booth at Rose City Comic Con on Saturday. It was really nice to have an opportunity to get the word out there, and I want to thank everyone who came to see us. Also, this episode was edited almost entirely by Tori Christensen. This week was a much-needed break, and I owe that completely to her. Thank you so much, Tori. If you'd like to show your support, consider checking out patreon.com/slapdashstudios. We have heaps of bonus content and even extra side episodes of our other D&D-related podcast, D20 Questions, where we interview local geek magnates and talk shop. It's absolutely hilarious and just a great time. And if you're a patron for $3 or more, then you get access to D20 One-Sides, where we're already drunk and remove our filters with no edits and just geek nonsense. This week could be a little weird for D20 Questions with Rose City Comic Con and everything else going on. We haven't had time to square away an interview, so we'll see where that goes. You may also notice that episode 7 isn't showing on some apps. It can be downloaded directly from Slapdash Studios if you're looking for it. Finally, our audience has been growing steadily, but that growth is hitting a little bit of a plateau. That being said, we could really use everyone's help in getting the word out there. If you know anyone into D&D or comedy podcasts or really anything geeky, just do us a favor and send them to theluq.com. It really helps more than you know. Obviously, the Danes have no trouble getting the word out there. Thank you, Denmark. But that's enough of this nonsense. Let's get back to the action.
I'd give anything to get rid of this cold.
Did you say anything? What would you say if I told you I had a program in place that could completely cure you of the cold by morning?
That sounds vague.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rez, and using my new state-of-the-art Rez technology, I can cure your body of any and all diseases. It's as simple as this. First, send me your symptoms and your address, as well as 1,000 gold drags. I analyze your symptoms and make a specialty plan tailored to your needs. That evening, I send a trained assassin into your home to murder you in your sleep. The next morning, our crack team of corpse collectors will get you on the Rez wagon and take you to our headquarters, where your body will be bombarded by radiant magic, ripping your soul from the afterlife and returning you to your former husk. Your new resurrected body will be just like new. Horrible psychological damages from being ripped out of the afterlife unwanted, but germ and disease free. My state-of-the-art method can save the day for all kinds of problems. Rashes, headaches, ancient curses, bad haircuts, binder's plague, skipping work, black lung, and expedited marital issue resolution. Don't wait, call me, Dr. Rez, today. Starting over feels great.
So as these dark green lizard folk dive out of the bog up onto the wooden walkway covered in this white war paint, I'm going to have everyone roll me initiative.
Here we go.
Oh, okay.
Artyom got an 18.
Yeah. 12.
12 for now.
No, wait, 15. Sorry.
15.
I do not add proficiency bonus to initiative.
19.
19. And then... So in response to this, Krist, you are first.
Because he doesn't really want to fight them. He's going to cast Hypnotic Pattern.
Okay. Could you remind me real quick what the DC is or the saving throw style is for that spell and the area of effect?
30-foot cube.
Okay.
Each creature in the area who sees the pattern must make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, the creature becomes charmed.
So you can roughly affect this group here if you want.
Yes, please. I would like to affect 5 of the 7.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes,
okay, please. So I'm going to make their wisdom saving throws.
Yes.
Wow, I rolled really good. I'm not going to beat around the bush on that one. Two of them are ensorcelled by this area. And what does it look like in the air when Krist does his hypnotic pattern?
So Krist writes a thing in the air, which replicates into this big signal that seems to like pulse. And opposite to the pulsing in the sky, his skin shimmers. So when the thing pulses, his skin's not. And when it's not, his skin is.
So yeah, this like sigil's now floating in the air over the lizardmen that's reflecting as Krist glows and diminishes. And two of them stare up at it, dumbfounded, as their huge tongues like waggle out of their mouth, completely entranced by this strange illusory magic. Would you like to move at all or stay where you are?
I'm going to stay where I am behind the brazier.
Very good. That makes it Arvid's turn.
Okay. I'll fly into a rage and try to charge that first one.
Yeah, you can just make it to him. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Yeah, actually you have 5 feet spare.
And give him a bap with my horns.
Sure. And for reference, the two on each end in the back are the two that are seeming to stare up into the air.
Bap also means titty.
Nice.
It is an English term for tits.
Is it really?
A nice big sweaty pair of baps.
I forgot all about that.
Give him a good firm titting.
Baps and fannies.
Oh wait, advantage? No.
You can recklessly attack if you choose.
Yeah.
Do it.
They were both 14. Twinsies!
Well, that was hit.
You're like the only person who does that, and I love it.
It's my constant power. Doubles.
It's amazing.
And
that's a
yeah,
hit. So a hit. Go ahead and deal your parity damage.
I got 6 on the die.
All right. I got it. So that's going to be 12 damage. Are you using radiant or necrotic edge?
Start with radiant.
Okay. So the first one gets this huge gash of white across its chest, and the dark blood just gushes out of this chest wound, and you're positive that another one of those will fell one of these beasts. A huge starting blow, and it kind of recoils in fear at your ferocity.
And a big roar at everyone else. Ah! You know, like, scary.
Absolutely. Excuse me, roar? And that is going to make it the lizard folk's turn. So the two in the back continue staring skyward at this fascinating, magical manifestation as the other ones almost get down on all fours and just begin to charge forward, clambering over cross beams and wherever they can, leaping across the gaps in the wood. And they attack tenaciously. Two of them are going to dig into Arvid. One of them is going to attempt to stab at Artyom, and one of them is going to hurl his spear at Krist.
I'm going to go ahead and hit a warding flare on that.
Thank you. I'll do yours first. That is 2 20s. Not on the dice, 2 totals of 20.
Oh, jeez.
We all panicked.
Your eyes almost blew up.
Oh, God. My total is 19, so that's not going to do it.
Okay, so javelin damage. You take a hot 5 points of piercing damage, and then he's just going to try to snap at you with a bite. And that is a 19.
That does not hit.
Very good. The two that are attacking Arvid both have advantage because of your reckless attack.
Sounds like they're rolling pretty high anyway.
So one of them hits you with the spear, the other one misses somehow, and then their bite attacks. And then one bite. How do you cock a d6?
Twice.
Twice. Unbelievable. Oh, there we go. So you take a total of 7. That's including the fact that you take half from raging, as these ones just flank and dig into you. And then this one hurls a spear. He only gets one attack because he's not in close combat. Coming at you with a 21.
Yeah, that hits. No, I'm going to use a bit of luck to make him reroll it.
You can do that.
Yes.
That is a 16.
Crystal, use shield.
Okay, that's fair. So first of all, you invoke your luck to make him have to roll again, and then a magical shield springs forth. And the javelin explodes as it hits the crystalline shield that you create in front of you. That makes it Artyom's turn.
Is it daytime?
It is dusk.
Dusk? So there's not much sunlight coming through?
There's a little bit if you want
to. Well, I'm just asking for radiant absorption, so it's not currently daylight.
No.
Okay, gotcha. Then in that case, I'm actually going to move just to the northwest a little bit, just basically kind of in between those two boys.
Gotcha.
And then I'm going to drop my channel divinity on my big sweet radiance of dawn. So basically what I'm going to do is I step up. I pull the light of the dusk, the trailing little bit of sunlight on the horizon, and it just kind of brightens and brightens and brightens until it turns into this radiant flash.
Yeah.
And then that light coalesces. And I'm going to use I'm going to cast Spiritual Weapon and have that light coalesce into the chakram on the horizon that then just charges in and lands nearby.
Gotcha. So the action is you're doing Radiance of Dawn and then bonus action summoning the chakra.
Correct.
Okay. What's the area of effect on your Radiance of Dawn?
I believe it is 30 feet.
30 feet.
Because yeah, I didn't think I was going to hit that one in the corner
You won't get these two, but you can hit all of these ones.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then the Spiritual Weapon. But the spiritual weapon I will put next to those chumps over there.
Okay. Get it out.
So then back to got a spirit to deal with.
So two of the ones in front of you made the save. So go ahead and roll me your damage.
Cool. That's what, 2d10? Coming in hot. 19.
Wow. Nice.
Huge damage.
Dude, I've been rolling like a beast. I forgot, add 5 to that.
5?
So okay. 24.
24.
Yeah. Oosh. Cleric level, motherfucker.
Nice.
I forgot that it adds cleric level.
So two of them literally get blown like off of the walkway back into the mire as their bodies ignite by the sunlight. And the other ones look just horribly scarred. Massive burns covering their body. And they grip their spears tightly and gnash their teeth.
And I'm going to use the free attack I get with my spiritual weapon to attack the guy farthest from us.
Okay. He is non-ensorcelled. So go ahead and roll me an attack check with your spell.
Oh, he's not ensorcelled?
No, he is the one that's not ensorcelled. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to. So whichever one that's ensorcelled gets, I get advantage, right?
Not as part of charm. No, they're just not fighting. They're just kind of distracted.
Oh, gotcha.
They can still defend themselves.
Doesn't matter then. I will attack the last outer boy then. Not great, but that's a 14.
That does not hit. It just glances off of their thick, leathery scales. Nim, unless you want to move. You moved a little bit, but you can...
I am going to get behind the guy that's next to me.
Okay.
He's all yours.
Sounds like perfect timing to me. Watch this. And Nim's just going to move directly to it and essentially, like, do a juke move.
Yeah, absolutely.
How hurt is that guy?
They're all pretty hurt on that end of the dock.
Okay, great. I'm going to, like, hold on to something for later. So Nim's just going to come across its knee or its Achilles, whichever one across that right knee and just sweep that thing through.
Sure. Give it the old hamstring.
Exactly. And completely misses.
Well, the nice thing about dual wielding.
Correct. So using my bonus action to use my other dagger, I miss and I spin around in place. I've got some light feet, so a little bit dancey looking, but I'm so low. I'm just kind of like this little whirlwind with blades out. And I'll take that second shot. And that's much better. That's a 21.
Oh, yeah, that definitely hits.
Excellent. Taking 6 damage to that knee.
Would you like to add sneak attack?
Yes, I would.
Because he's adjacent to Artyom.
Yes. Adding 5 to that number.
Okay, that is enough to fell this one. So as you run by, you miss with the first one and then bury your second dagger into his hamstring. And you hear like a loud snap as his Achilles tendon rolls up like a window pane. And he topples off of the dock back into the mud.
Take a knee.
That's cute.
Take a knee.
Very good. Would you like to stay where you are or continue your movement?
I believe I only have about 10 feet left. I'm only a 25 footer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you have 10 feet left.
If I can get past Artyom onto that little bridge piece, totally. That'd
be
nice.
You can even just like weave between Artyom's legs, being a halfling, and get out onto it.
That'd be great.
I'll like jump as she comes up just so you can slide underneath me.
The old Mario Luigi move.
There you go.
Very good. That brings us to the end of the round. And you can all hear this slurping sound still coming from inside of this skeleton emerging from the mire. It's just like this agitant. And they all seem to be chanting along with it. That makes it Crist's turn.
Cool. Can you tell me a little bit more about concentration spells?
Yes. If you take damage, then you're going to have to roll a constitution save to maintain a concentration spell you have up. And you can only have one concentration spell up at a time, not two.
Okay. And it does not really influence what I can do on my turn.
Nope.
Other than that.
Okay. Other than the fact that if you take damage, it could go away.
Okay. Chris will cast Frostbolt on the gator next to Arvid.
Awesome. Roll to hit. Spell attack bonus.
Is it?
It is.
It's been a while. No, that is such a miss.
Okay. Evie's luck.
No, not right now. I want to keep this concentration up.
That's fair. Yeah, so you shoot out the beam of ice and it crouches underneath it. Would you like to stay where you are?
Yes. Yes, I would.
All right.
Right next to Morty.
And Morty will step up to, and that makes it Arvid's turn.
Excellent. Morty, on this one, I point to the one in front of me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to try to run to the next one.
Okay.
And attack it in like much it. The same fashion.
5, 10, 15, 20, 20. Yep, you can make it there. Real quick, the one you're leaving the threat range of is going to make a spear attack at you. You take 3 points of piercing damage.
And it's not so much a swing that I'm trying to do on that one as it is a shove into the water if I can. Yeah. I just want to get him off the...
The classic Arvid yeet.
Yes.
Very good. So we're going to do an opposed athletics. You have advantage because of raging. Pretty good.
So that's 22.
All right, I got a total of 20, which I thought was pretty baller. Yes. But that easily defeats it. And you want to use the head or the knee or the...
Oh, yeah, just straight up head for flavor.
Yeah, like literally horns. Lift him off the ground with the old renderoo. What's that called? The gore.
Yeah. Olay.
I like to think the ear horns are flavorful.
Yes, they are cream horns. And yeah, that one gets head-yeeted right off into the muck. And you see it like impact with this huge skeletal tail out in the mire as it impacts. Taking some bludgeoning damage. And Morty is going to charge forward.
Oh my God, look at that mini.
Isn't he perfect?
That's a massive,
He's a
massive.
Chunky boy. Morty hits!
Yay!
That happens like once every 4 games. Ooh, he hits all right. He just fucking rips this lizard man's throat out.
Oh.
Wow.
Attaboy, Morty.
Yeah, he can deal it when he actually hits. He basically hits as hard as a great sword. would you like to do anything else? I think that pretty much That's expends it. All your thingies. And that makes it the one remaining lizard man. So he's going to try to hurl his javelin at Arvid, who is the closest. And then he's going to use his movement. Here comes the javelin. That's a hit. You take another 3 piercing damage as this one just like buries into your thick torso.
And he blasts like a buzzer from a 1990s like game show.
Yeah. And then you see he rips this little like fanged blade off of his belt and dives out onto the skeleton. And with one final chanting prayer, he buries it into this thing and rips it back, splitting open the membrane that was inside of it. It's writhing more than ever.
Oh, man.
So as he drags the blade across this membrane, it explodes out and all of these fleshy undead figures emerge from the stomach of this dead beast. They look like they've had their souls ripped out of their bodies, and they emerge from the sludgy mire.
Starting to wish I'd saved that channel divinity.
And these crawling, decrepit, decayed figures come like clawing through the skeletons and muck, just and start clambering very slowly up the rails of this wooden walkway.
Dope.
And that makes it Artyom's turn.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and
I don't know if I want to do it. This could be a big boy.
I think I know what's coming.
I think I can nail it, but I'm not sure. I'm going to drop a fireball right in the center of that skeleton.
All right.
I've never gotten to do this before, and I'm so excited. I've literally never dropped a fireball in a D&D game, and this is just so exciting.
This is it.
You're going to hit almost all of them.
Who am I missing? That outer boy?
These two.
Okie dokie. Yeah, no matter which direction I go, I'm missing two of them. Yeah.
And way cooler to center on that lizard.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to eat shit too.
I'm literally going to say, hey, Uruat! And when he looks at me, I'm just going to toss the fireball.
Awesome.
Actually, I'm going to have the chakram suddenly turn into a sun and then arc over and slam into them.
And then explode. Ooh.
And since I have a movement action, or since I can move it up to 20 feet during my turn, I'm actually going to move it the 20 feet towards
totally.
The thing. So basically it'll arc through the air, hit it, and then bounce off and land where it's supposed to be.
I see. So let's roll some D6s.
I can. How many is that?
Eight of them.
Eight. Ooh. Fucking eight of them.
Hell yes.
Oh, man.
All right. We've got 7. 18, 23, and 32
damage. All right. So there's this huge explosion of light as this fire bubble kind of like billows up in the mog and it bursts into this huge pillar of fire. And all of these zombie bits start flying in every direction. The skeleton explodes, shooting a shrapnel of bones into the air. This lizard man just like tumbles in midair, getting roasted alive. And you can see there's like more bodies starting to like murk up out, but there's just corpses now floating, blown to pieces and smoldering on top of this thick mire. Ooh. You can just hear this lurching from the water all around this.
Nim shields her eyes at that. She's on the edge of the dock right there, gripping onto it tightly. Oof. And after just probably getting sprayed with muck, we better get going.
And you can see at this point, the end of the walkway is within sight. And if the group wishes to press on, they can charge and make it there, escaping from the swamp and whatever else hides underneath the surface.
As we make the run, I'm actually going to take a shot at one of the last remaining two and have my spiritual weapon kill the other one.
Sure. So like another hand is coming up out of the murk and then the chakram just like cuts it off at the elbow and stays to like slash around as anything tries to come up out of the water.
I can't do that many more times. Let's get going.
And as you all run, the wood of the dock creaking under your feet, Morty's behind you. You leap off this last little gap over onto the dry land on the other side of the murk. You can see even the swamp underneath you in this leap. There's like bubbles and fingers starting to like lurch up out of it. And as you land, you all immediately stop and brace each other before you move forward any further, because now you are no longer on the edge of a swamp. You are on the edge of a huge chasm, standing on the edge of a giant leaf.
God damn! Nothing beats dropping a fireball on a stack of angry goobers and beaten feet. We used to call that the ball and bale back when Trigger Happy Lilywhite had that wand of fireballs. For every time that stupid shaft saved our asses, it literally burned our asses. I was glad when the boomstick broke. No such thing as friendly fire, Kip. Just mean, nasty, no good, unfriendly fire.
Truly a dramatic escape for the Mortal Dawn, but seemingly right into the mouth of more Feyborn danger.
They made short work of those lizard folk, but when those zombies bust out of the guts of that dead beast, I was ready to speak at their funeral. So much for subtlety, but desperate times call for third-level AoE measures. A kaboom!
And so we leave our team teetering on the edge of a deadly drop-off. What strange magics must they navigate now? What riddles and rhymes will bring them one step closer to their goal, or potentially their death? Find out next time on the League of Ultimate Questing.
That was pretty fucking slick.
Okay, okay. Oh, do you guys think that maybe it would have also worked to break all of those ghost fire things? I think that's what we were supposed to do.
Maybe.
Oh, there's all kinds of narrative options. Nothing's like set in stone. Like whatever people want to creatively start to do that can probably influence things in many ways.
Cool, well, cool. Yeah, when Chris messed with one and it affected the others, there was definitely like a chain going on.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. I saw the opportunity. I'm taking it.
Hey, no, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, fireball for a something. Reason.
Do it.
Well, let's wrap things up here. I'd like to go around the table and go from there.
I am Sam. I play Arvid, the druid barbarian with his companion, Morty. Actually, it's everyone's companion, but we're best bros.
I am Anthony. I'm playing Nim the Nelfling.
I am Alante. I play Christ, the crystalline sorcerer, and Morty's second best friend.
It's not a contest.
I am Zach. I play Artyom Volkov, the cleric of sunlight and suffering, and I'm also the editor, producer, and technical director for Slapdash.
My name is Law. I'm the dungeon master, and I am the creative director of Slapdash Studios.
Well, I want to take this moment to thank everybody for showing up here again. I'm sure you already know this, but we have new episodes coming out every Monday. What? No, fuck me. Every Monday. We got new episodes coming out every Monday and bonus content every Friday. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/slapdashstudios. You know, if you love the show and everything like that, please share us out there as much as possible. We have a presence on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Slap the Dash. On Facebook, it's just facebook.com/slapdashstudios. You can also go to slapdashstudios.com or theluq.com for more information there. We're always posting cool stuff there. I think that's everything, but I want to say I love you all and we wish you luck.